today as we come to the table.
He's going to come on the scene again very, very quickly and have great authority when he does that. And so we're going to see some more imitations and mockery of the Antichrist as we get through this. By the way, the word anti, I think you need to know the actual literal meaning. A lot of people think anti means against. Anti literally in the language means instead of. So understand that's a very, very important distinction. When the beast shows up, he's not just going to be against Jesus. He is coming instead of Jesus. He's going to present himself as the Savior of the world. Don't look at Jesus. He's not the one to follow. Instead, anti, instead, look at me.
Have you ever worked with someone who seemed to think they were the boss? As long as your actual boss wasn't around, this person would try to tell everyone what to do and demand everyone pay attention to them. They may even have the same knowledge as the real boss, so they expect that you look to them for answers. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark clarifies that the term Antichrist literally means instead of Christ. Like the person you worked with, the Antichrist will try to get the attention of all the people. On the surface, he will look and sound like Jesus, but he won't have the full power of the Lord. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Revelation chapter 13 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
If you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Revelation chapter 13. We get into a real exciting portion of Scripture, and that is the character that we know the most as the Antichrist. Actually, Scripture calls him the Beast. And again, why would God call him a beast? Because he acts like a beast. He is a beast. You know, you've heard people say, you know, that man's an animal. He's not a real person, he's an animal. Maybe it's from some gruesome murder or some event that happened, and they'll refer to someone as an animal. This is how God refers to the Antichrist. He's going to appear to the world as this very charismatic, sharp, amazing man with all the answers. Everybody's going to follow him and be amazed by him and by how he shines as Satan gives him his power and authority. But God sees the real man on the inside, and he sees the demonic influence and satanic influence behind it, and refers to him as he is, as a beast. And now John gets into this portion of Revelation where we see the two beasts, really, that rise up out of the earth. One is the Antichrist. And the other is going to be the false prophet. And we'll see this picture of the unholy Trinity. By the way, remember, Satan mocks everything that God does for real. So whenever you see something that God does for real, Satan will mock it. So even as you have the holy Trinity, we're going to see an unholy Trinity. We have the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Satan wants Satan, the Antichrist, which will be as his son, and then the false prophet. And even Satan even makes them work the same way. You know, the Holy Spirit's job is to point us to Jesus, to the Son of God. That's his job, it tells us in Scripture. So when the Antichrist is here, he's going to be ruling the earth, and the false prophet, this world religious leader, is going to be pointing everyone's eyes to this great political leader, the Antichrist. So understand, you have politics working, and you have religion working together with Satan being at the top of it, and there you have that unholy Trinity. All right? And so we're going to see this whole picture together. The Bible says they'll work together for a while until finally the Antichrist will say, you know what? I don't want anyone worshiping anyone but me. And I think that's probably when Satan will inhabit him and indwell him, literally possess him, I believe. And he's going to stand up in the temple and say, I am God. And we'll get to that a little bit later. He's going to declare that he's God, that he's ruling, if you will, the earth. And he will be ruling the earth. He's going to be asking the earth to bow down to him. Remember, that was Satan's ultimate goal. He said, I will ascend to the farthest sides of the north where God's throne is. He said, I will be like the Most High. So Satan has always wanted to be worshiped. Even when Jesus came, what did he do? He showed up to Jesus in the wilderness there in Luke 4, and he said, bow down to me and I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. And what did Jesus say? Jesus didn't say, you can't do that, because Satan could do it. See, God rules over everything, right? But until the Lord comes and takes back everything that has been purchased through the cross, he allows Satan to have limited rulership. Paul refers to Satan in 2 Corinthians 4, chapter 4, as the god of this world. And it's a small g. And that is, God is over all things, but Satan has that limited authority. And Satan says to Jesus, I can give it to whoever I want. He can. And Jesus didn't rebuke him for saying that because Jesus knew that he could. He just said, no, you shall bow down to the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. I'm not going to bow down to you. I'm going to do this the Father's way. I'm not going to do this your way, some kind of shortcut where you end up being the one that's in control and giving me authority of the earth. I'm going to wait on the Father to give me all authority over the earth, and you're going to be cast into the eternal lake of fire. Now, again, he didn't have that whole conversation right there in Luke chapter 4, but that's what Satan knows, and that's what the Lord knows. And so Satan is now going to make that offer again to someone else. He made the offer to Jesus. Jesus rejected it. Now he's going to make the offer to the one we call the Antichrist, or the one that Scripture mostly calls the beast. And the beast is going to say, I'll take that offer. I'll accept that. And he's going to give him authority. He's going to give him power. And the entire world will bow down to this world leader out of Europe that will soon be rising. And that's what we're looking at. So he now sees it in vision form, chapter 13, verse 1. Then I stood on the sand of the sea. Again, John watching this. And I saw a beast. Here's the Antichrist. Rising up out of the sea. Now, remember we talked about certain idioms and things that are used in Scripture to represent certain things. The sea is one of them. We have literal seas, and we have seas of people all through the Scripture. This here, John is showing symbolically, is out of the seas of peoples, this Antichrist is going to come up. So he's speaking here of the peoples of the earth being the sea, if you will. And notice he sees this beast having seven heads and 10 horns. Now again, what is the symbolism here? Whether or not this beast literally had seven heads and 10 horns in John's vision or not, John is symbolically mentioning seven heads and 10 horns because seven being the number of completion is letting us know that the Antichrist will have complete authority for a time over the entire earth. There's the number seven. He will be in complete authority. And why the number 10 horns? Horns in Scripture represent strength. And the Bible tells us that the earth will either have 10 kings ruling the earth at this time and or 10 regions of the earth at this time that'll be over the earth, and he's going to be ruling over all of them. Now, is it going to be exactly 10 kingdoms? It may be 10 kingdoms out of Europe as America continues to fade, or it could be regions of the earth broken up into this 10. It doesn't really matter. It's just showing us that Satan's going to be over it. The beast will be over it as Satan has given him his power. It is interesting to note that at the UN, they have broken up the earth into guess how many regions? Yeah, 10 regions. If you look up the regions of the earth under UN rule, it has the earth broken up in 10 regions. What is our region? Our region of those 10 is Canada, America, and Mexico. And so they've clumped us together as one region. Many believe that's why we are allowing, or maybe it's even spiritually being enhanced, that our borders are becoming very porous. It's less of a political issue and more of a spiritual issue, as Satan is now beginning to bring the world together as one and break down the borders. And so the borders need to be broken down between us and Canada. The borders need to be broken down between us and Mexico. And then the borders need to be broken down around the world in all these different divisions that the earth is going to be broken up into, whether, again, it's 10 nations or 10 regions, even as we see and remember in Daniel's vision in Daniel chapter 2 of the 10 toes in the last days, these 10 regions or these 10 nations, we'll have to wait and see what that's going to be. But either way, he sees him now, the Antichrist, ruling over these either 10 nations or 10 regions of the earth, and he's got ultimate authority over them. And notice it says, and on his horns are 10 crowns. So again, he's ruling them. He has that crown of authority over them. And on his heads, a blasphemous name. And again, whenever you see the Antichrist, you see things like blasphemous, big mouth, loud mouth. I'm using my own language, but he's very, very bold and against God. He's a loud mouth. He's boastful. He's arrogant. He attacks the people of God. He attacks God. He's just, a really vile human being. And it says, the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, his throne, and his great authority. Here it is. We talked about Luke 4, Satan offering this power to Jesus, Jesus rejecting it and choosing rather to go to the cross and bow to the Father who would give him the power legitimately later. And now we see Satan here offering this power, the dragon again, giving his power, his throne, and his authority temporarily to this Antichrist, this beast, if you will, who will be ruling the earth for him until Satan takes that position, I think, by actual possession of the Antichrist or the beast at a later date. And so we see that's where his power comes from. And by the way, understand, Satan does have limited power. You know, in the book of Job, we see that Satan even has power to cause lightning. Remember, he calls lightning to strike the children's home where Job, or to strike rather Job's livestock. We see that he has power over storms to some degree. Now, to what degree, I don't know. We see that he caused great storms to come and blow the homes down of Job's kids and crush them underneath. And remember, we see the whole scene where he goes to God and says, can I do this? He's got to get permission first. But then God says, yes, you can. So once he gets permission, he's allowed to do things even in nature. So is it possible that Satan influences storms? Absolutely. We see that biblically in Scripture. Is it even possible that Satan directs lightning? Absolutely. We see that in Scripture. So to what degree God allows it, to what amount, we don't know. We're going to see he gives these same powers to the beast and the false prophet as we get into this chapter as well. But notice here in verse 2, it says, the beast was like a leopard, a bear, and a lion. Does that ring any bells for any prophecy students? Remember in your mind Daniel. The book of Daniel, it says that Daniel was getting the vision for the different world kingdoms that would take place all the way up until the return of Christ. The kingdoms were represented by what? Animals. The leopard represented Greece, and of course, Alexander the Great, when the Greek kingdom was ruling. Before that, the Medo-Persian Empire was represented by a bear, and that was actually ruling. The Medo-Persian Empire was actually ruling before Alexander the Great, so I kind of went in reverse order there. And then the lion representing Rome. Again, there toward the end, and again, Rome's going to be revived. So what he's saying is this. When the Antichrist shows up, he's going to have a little bit of all of the world kingdoms wrapped up in one. You're going to see a little bit of Medo-Persian in him. You're going to see a little bit of Greece in him. And you're going to see a little bit of Rome in this guy. So he's going to use all of these world kingdoms because he had his hand in every one of them throughout history. And all he's going to do now is revive every bit of that at the last as the Roman Empire is revived. And there's going to be a piece of each of those ancient kingdoms and their wickedness and their authority all rolled into one big thing that is going to be the worst of all the kingdoms at the very end. In another place in Scripture, it describes it as this almost iron beast that's crushing everything in its path and destroying everything in its path. It's going to be a fearful kingdom when the beast rises up. Now remember, it says he'll rise up as someone who's very small. You've never heard of him. And suddenly he's going to spring on the scene. And basically, of these 10 kingdoms, he's going to pull 3 of them down. So when he rises up, he's going to be a nobody. And suddenly he's going to come on the scene. He'll just take the world by storm. He'll be given supernatural authority by Satan. He'll rise to the top. He'll pull 3 kingdoms out or 3 regions or however this is going to be. Again, we have to wait and see how that's going to be. And then suddenly he'll be in power. And even as I said, he imitates everything that the Lord does. I think he will be 30 years old when this happens. Now, why do I think he'll be 30 years old? Does the Bible say the Antichrist or the beast will be 30 years old when he comes into power? No. But he mocks everything else that God does. And I believe in order to bring that whole picture of mocking Jesus, the Christ, he's the Antichrist, he's going to be 30 when he takes power and rule for those 3.5 years. And then, of course, that's when all the first 3.5 will seem like world peace, you know, this kind of thing, until the destruction comes. From this false prophet who rises up and does all this. So again, I don't think we'll know who the Antichrist is. I think in Thessalonians it tells us that he won't even be revealed until we're out of here. When the rapture takes place, he'll be revealed, but he's going to come on the scene again very, very quickly and have great authority when he does that. And so we're going to see some more imitations and mockery of the Antichrist as we get through this. By the way, the word anti, I think you need to know the actual literal meaning. A lot of people think anti means against. Anti literally in the language means instead of. So understand that's a very, very important distinction. When the beast shows up, he's not just going to be against Jesus. He is coming instead of Jesus. He's going to present himself as the Savior of the world. Don't look at Jesus. He's not the one to follow. Instead, look at me. I'm the one to follow. And again, he'll have his power given to him by Satan. And here's what's interesting. Remember I told you he mocks everything the Lord does. There's even apparently going to be a death and resurrection of some sort to mock what Jesus did. Look at verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as if, and that's key, as if it had been mortally wounded. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. Here's the bottom line picture. Then I want to look at this verse a little more closely. The world is going to believe that he's dead. They're going to believe the Antichrist is dead, and all of a sudden it's going to be announced he's come back to life. He has resurrected. And now you see how he's completing the picture of the instead of Christ, instead of Jesus, I too died. I too resurrected. Bow to me, follow me. And it's interesting because it says as if. That leaves it open to where maybe it's not truly a death. It may just appear that he's dead, and then Satan by his power helps him to revive and come back. But then there's this word here that says mortally wounded, which indicates death. And so there's two possibilities, and I'm going to throw them out there to you. Here's what the Bible says. He's going to appear to die, and he's going to appear to resurrect. Now, Satan doesn't have power to raise the dead. So one possibility might be he seems to be dead, but he's not. And then there he is, and everybody's amazed, because how could he live through that? The other thing that I find very intriguing, I do believe at some point he's going to be possessed by Satan. I don't know when that will be exactly. But if his body really dies and Satan goes into that body, there wouldn't have to be someone coming back to life. It would just be sleight of hand. Satan would basically take the Antichrist's body, a container, get inside of it, stand it up, and start living inside of this body, and everybody's going to think, hey, he resurrected from the dead. I find it interesting. Remember when Moses died, what did Satan want? He wanted Moses' body, didn't he? I think he wanted to get into Moses' body, get up, walk back into the camp and say, got to change a few things here about this Ten Commandments stuff. But God didn't let him. God put Michael there to guard so he couldn't get to the body. Now, what he was going to do with the body, we don't know. The Bible didn't say he wanted to possess Moses' body. Can Satan even do that and make a body that's died get up? I don't know. So this is all speculation. Make sure you know that. Here's what we do know. We do know he's going to appear to die and he's going to appear to resurrect. Now, what else do we know is going to happen to him? Keep your finger here, and if you want to, turn with me back to Zechariah. Zechariah's last book of the Bible, next to last book of the Bible, Zechariah 11, verse 16 and 17. I want you to see this. And most scholars, and I agree with them, say this is speaking of the instead of Christ, the Antichrist. Why? Because Jesus said one, he said, I came in my own name, and you didn't receive me. You rejected me. He said, there's one coming in his name, him you will receive. And now the Lord, the prophet here speaks, the Lord speaks through the prophet here in Zechariah, talking about this one that they'll receive, this instead of Christ, this worthless shepherd, if you will. Look at verse 16 of chapter 11. It says, for indeed I will raise up a shepherd in the land who will not care for those who were cut off, nor will he seek the young, nor heal those who are broken. Again, this is as a judgment against the nation and also what God's going to allow for those who reject the real Christ. Nor feed those that still stand, but he will eat the flesh of the fat and tear the hooves in pieces. So he's going to basically be abusing the flock, attacking the flock, not loving the flock like the true Jesus, but this imposter will be a wolf in sheep's clothing. Notice what he says about this worthless shepherd, verse 17. Woe to the worthless shepherd who leaves the flock. A sword shall be against his arm and against his right eye, and his arm shall completely wither, and his right eye shall be totally blinded. Okay, now you can turn back to Revelation if you want, but let me say this. It would appear that there's an assassination attempt on the instead of Christ, the Antichrist, the beast. We don't know, but it would appear since it's a mortal wound and maybe someone shoots him in the head. We don't know. But it appears he's going to lose his sight in his right eye and his right arm is going to wither. So it's going to affect the right side of his body. And again, if there is this assassination attempt against him, and suddenly he comes back to life from it. Now you see why the rest of the verse is important. It says at the end of verse 3, all the world marveled and followed the beast. Wow. Hey guys, this guy, these crazy Christians make all these claims, but we saw this guy die. Somebody tried to kill him, and we saw him come back to life. Who are you going to follow? I know who I'm following. Do you know anybody else that can die and resurrect? Well, Jesus, those people are gone. They won't even be talking about Jesus during this time. We've been raptured out of here. And certainly some will know about it, but they've rejected Jesus. This guy they can follow. But he's not requiring they repent of their sin. And it's going to be like, well, I guess Jesus isn't that important. Somebody else has died and resurrected, and we're going to follow this guy. And so they're going to marvel. They're going to follow the beast. And notice, so they worshiped the dragon. So Satan now is getting the worship that he wants. And again, this is where I say it might be at this point that Satan actually enters this dead body of the Antichrist and brings him back with him inside of him or whatever happens. But they worship the dragon here who gave authority to the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who's able to make war with him? You know, how are you going to defeat someone that has supernatural power to die and resurrect? How do you beat this guy? Here he is again. Another name would be mouth, would be a good name for this guy. And he was given a mouth, speaking great things. That is, he's bragging on himself how great he is, and blasphemies. For he was given authority, that is, he's claiming himself to be God, but he was given authority to continue for 42 months, that's 3.5 years. Remember the Revelation, the great tribulation, or the last 7 years is broken up into two segments of 42 months. And here's 1260 days and 1260 days. So he's going to have this authority given to him for 42 months where the world will be under this supposed peace and this supposed whatever. And then, of course, God's going to be pouring out the bowls and the wrath and all these great judgments in there as well. And notice he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, that is God's name, God's tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. So he's going to be attacking God and all of us that have been raptured. He's going to be mocking us in heaven, you know, just in front of the world. And they're going to be agreeing with him and all just mocking us. And these stupid idiot Christians that are just in the way and they're gone and we're glad they're gone. This false Jesus they follow. I'm the one you're to follow. I have the power. And all these kind of blasphemies are going to be going on. And the world's going to be just following this guy like he's God. Again, Satan wanting that kind of worship and acting like he's God. Some of you wonder, how could the world ever bow down to Satan? I don't know that they're going to know they're bowing down to Satan. Satan's going to be living it out through this Antichrist. He'll be getting his adoration and authority, but he's not going to look like somebody wearing a red outfit with a pitchfork, right? So he's given this mouth. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God and those in heaven, verse 7. And look at this. It was granted to him, that is by God's permission and through the power of Satan, it was granted to him to make war with the saints, this is key, and to overcome them. Jesus said, the gates of hell will not overcome the church. Here's another reason we know the church is gone. The church has to be gone because at this point, the saints, those who get saved after we're raptured out of here, he'll be able to overcome them. The gates of hell will prevail over these saints that are on the earth. They'll be put to death. But the gates of hell will never prevail against the church, and that is why another reason I believe we see the church is clearly gone here and is not around, because he's going to have authority to overcome those that are here, the saints that are saved afterwards. And notice, an authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. So he literally has power and authority over all the world. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, that is, whose names have not been written in the book of life. Those that know the Lord and get saved afterwards, they won't worship him. But whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Notice this again. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. Now, this is the eighth time this phrase has been spoken in Revelation. Do you remember where the other seven times were? The churches, the seven churches. At the end of the seven churches, he'd say, for him who has an ear, you know, let them hear what the Spirit says what? To the churches. Notice somebody missing in this particular phrase now when number eight comes along. He just says, let him who has ears hear. Why didn't he say the churches? Because the church is gone. The church isn't here.
And just like that, another episode of Come to the Table is coming to an end. Speaking of endings, we're in the final book of the Bible, Revelation. The events mentioned in this book can be somewhat frightening for those who don't know God. But for those who have put their trust in him, there's much to look forward to. The end of Revelation brings so much hope and joy as God makes things right and ushers in a time with him that will have no ending. It's hard to imagine, right? Sometimes our finite minds just can't fathom what eternity will be like with Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for what he has in store. If you're interested in getting to know us in person, you can come be part of what's going on at Calvary Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee. For over 20 years, it's been incredible to see how God has used this community of believers in our community and through his radio outreach. Keep in mind that there's always a seat for you. Sunday mornings at 9:30 or 11:15 a.m., Saturday night at 6 p.m., or Wednesday night at 7 p.m. If you can't make it in person, that's okay. Join us online. We stream our services through the Way Media app. that you can download from your app store or right from thewaymedia.net. Just scroll to the bottom of thewaymedia.net for a link to our church info too. As we come to a close today, know that we care about you, we pray for you, and we look forward to you joining us for another edition here. May the things that you've been learning in the book of Revelation really stick with you, connecting you to the one who holds everything in the palm of his hand. This has been Come to the Table.
Come to the table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.